Well, thank you. Good evening, friends. So happy to be back out tonight here in the Shriner Auditorium for our fifth night of service in the name of our blessed Lord Jesus Christ, to whom be all praise and glory forever and ever, worlds without end. Last evening, it was just a little difficult for me. Something happened that I very seldom have happened in a meeting. I'm just getting ready to seeing the visions begin to break over the people, and as I started to move into the vision, something happened before me. We talked about it after I got to myself good until 1 o'clock this morning nearly. I saw Adam leave the Garden of Eden willfully because he went out because he loved his wife. I seen Jesus come and go out willfully, taking the sinner's place because he loved the church. I just couldn't keep from expressing it. And we hear that the Lord did bless and fill with the Holy Spirit and save the lost. After all, that's the main thing that we're here for. Divine healing is wonderful. But divine healing is like the bait that's on the hook. You don't show the fish the hook, you show him the bait. He gets the bait, he's got the hook too. If a man can ever be healed and see the power of God, what it does to him, he'll then become a believer. That's right. Now, we're happy to be in tonight, just a little bit late, and had to perform an operation today on my friend here, Brother Tracy. I kept telling him that jumping cactus would get him, and so he just didn't hardly believe it. So after a while, I found he caught up with a bunch of cactus hooked behind his legs. I didn't have a pair of pliers or anything. We were taking a little hike on the desert to go up to sing the praises to the Lord on top of superstitious mountains. We could have gotten there. That was his ambition. So about halfway up, the cactus got him. And then we had to operate on him to get it out. He done a little squealing and grunting, but he got it all out. So they don't have that in Texas, you know, and this is new. He's going to tell his great-grandchildren about it, you know, he was a superstitious mountain. So we got back down late, and if I ever had a night of difficult, it's tonight. Coming back down, and then thought I would go into the room early then and go to fasting, praying. We hadn't eaten, so we decided to do that and in the room. When I went into to go to praying, I picked up my Bible and I felt real tired. I just sat down in a chair. When they come back to the afternoon meeting, they woke me up. I went to sleep. And then the lady of the house said, "Come eat a sandwich." I hope I never have to eat a full dinner anywhere. Steak about that big around with everything that goes with it. And then I said, "Brother Tracy, you all do the preaching tonight, because I certainly feel kind of unqualified. It's approaching just by grace tonight, that the Lord will bless in some way and give us of His blessing. We wish tonight to call your attention, God willing, in the Old Testament, again, just for a few remarks. Perhaps next week we'll go over into the New Testament, but just for a little teaching. And by the way, this is all new to me. Preach and make the altar call before praying for the sick. And I mean teach a little. And now, before we can open the Word, we can pull the lid down like this, but it takes God to open it. The Holy Spirit takes the Word of God and just gives it right out in every heart, just as we have need for it, if we can get ourselves submitted to the Holy Spirit. The Word of the preacher will not try to use his own thoughts, just let the Holy Spirit move, and let the congregation not try to criticize, but just set with an open heart and honest before God. Then we'll have a real meeting, won't we? So shall we bow our heads while we talk to the author of this book that we're fixing to read? O beloved God, we come to Thee most humbly, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, to ask first to forgive us of our sins and errors. And we're so happy to know that we have a high priest sitting in glory who can be touched by the feeling of our infirmities, believing this, that He's climbed the ramparts of glory, setting way high and exalted above every angel, archangel, way beyond the moon, stars, and sun. And He hears prayer of every one that'll come humbly asking. This great telephone connection we have, as it were, taking down the receiver, calling central Christ Jesus, asking to be plugged into eternity. Come, Lord Jesus. Send your angels tonight, and may they take their positions at every seat. Speak to the unsaved, those who are without Christ, going to a godless, Christless eternity, to a devil's hell, when Jesus Christ died to save them from such. Help tonight, and may the Holy Spirit just get into the Word, take it right out to every heart, and divide it out there severally as we have need. Father, may we humble ourselves in thy presence. May the Holy Spirit now take a hold of every heart. Get glory out of the service, for we ask it in his name. Amen. In the 20th chapter of Numbers, we read just for a short text. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take the rod, and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron, thy brother. Speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall bring forth his water. And thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock, so that give their congregation and their beasts. And Moses took the rod from before the Lord, as he commanded. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock, and he said unto them, hear ye, rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hand with the rod and smote the rock twice. And the waters came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beasts also. May the Lord add his blessings to the reading of his word. That was one thing that Moses did which was very contrary to God's word. That's the reason we have to watch Christian people. That's the reason my meetings, many of them say, Brother Branham, Brother Robert shall pray for 500 people while you pray for 5. That's true. But Brother Roberts does what God tells him to do. I do what God tells me to do, you see. So that's the difference. Brother Roberts has a ministry of one type from the Lord, and I have a ministry of another type from the Lord. And we both, as God's servants, must do what God tells us to do. My ministry is not to personally contact each one. It's to bring forth the full assurance of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus and tell them to look and live. That's it. It's to each and every one. Just like Moses lifting up. Now see, Brother Roberts is the gift of healing. He prayed and laid hands on the sick like that and got a real predominating hard, as we call it, bulldog faith. Just stands up there with his eyes closed and believe it. And he does, if God will do it if he asks, and just lays his hands on the people as he passed by. That's good. That's what the Bible said, do. Lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. I can't do that. Just as soon as I catch a person, there it begins to break. I can't let the person go unless somebody snatches him through the line. And there comes a vision. Firstly, before I ever, no one ever heard me guilty of ever trying to cast out an evil spirit, first I knew what I was doing. Many times people come to the house, been in the meetings and so forth, they fail to get healed. They wonder why. Then when they come in, maybe there's some hidden something back in their life that they haven't done or should have done. And maybe they've forgotten about it. Maybe that's the very cause that the brother laying his hands on them or anointing them with oil at their church, whatever it was, they didn't get healed. Listen, friends, you've got to find the cause before you find the cure. Right. Absolutely. Right. If you went to a doctor, the doctor, I'm having a headache, just a persistent headache. He says, well, take this and gives you a few aspirins. He's not a doctor. He's trying to get rid of it. Now, the only thing it is, that doctor, if he's a real doctor, he'll diagnose that case till he finds the cause of that headache. Then work from there. Now, if you pray for a person that doesn't get well, then there's something somewhere causing it, because God's sovereign to his word. He's got to stay with his word. Peter said on the day of Pentecost, repent every one of you and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. If a man repents and is baptized, he is absolutely God's duty bound to give him the Holy Ghost if he has repented from his heart. Why tarry? Why wait a long time? It's because there's something here that isn't right. Correctly. God's got... You say, well, maybe God just don't want to give it to me. Oh, yes, he does. Yes. You take every bit of the... Well, you say, maybe the Holy Ghost has been to so many. God's got plenty of it for you. Don't worry. Could you imagine a little fish about that long standing out in the middle of the ocean swimming around and say, I better drink of this water kind of sparingly because it might run out someday. Well, that's just not like thinking God has got enough Holy Spirit for you. Could you imagine a little mouse under the great garners of Egypt there where they're stacked with the billions of tons and a little mouse down there say, well, I better not eat about one or two grains a day because I might run out this winter. Wow, that's like trying to think that God hasn't got grace enough to save you, heal you. He's wanting to do it to you more than you are to receive it.
That's right.
Yeah. Sure. He wants to do it. Could you imagine all the waters in the world packed into a standpipe about this big around? It would go thousands and thousands of miles through the air. And how the pressure of that water coming down, pressing down, trying to find one little crevice to get out of. That's the way the love of God and the healing power is trying to pour in this meeting tonight.
Yes.
Trying its best everywhere. God trying to make his way into a heart. But all that pressure of divine love and will and everything trying to press his way into the people. If you just know the right approach to it, you can walk right up and just receive it just like that. That's all. See, because if God promised anything and you don't receive it, there's something wrong.
That's right.
People come sometime. I haven't time tonight to go into detail on this. I will maybe next week on testimony. But how that people come from everywhere. Say, well, I failed to get it. And lady come not long ago saying that someone told her she had seven devils. Another person told her she only had five. And she won't know where the four went. Poor woman, plumb gone nearly. Sat in the room, taking off her stockings and pulled her feet up in the chair. Said, I haven't eaten for several days and I'm not going to eat till I find out what become of those devils. Said, what are they? I said, I don't know. I never know nothing about them. Said, well, one minister told me I had seven devils and the other lady minister said I only had five. Now there's two of them gone somewhere. Now see, and come, stay there about 2 hours in the house until God began to speak and said, lady, listen. You come from St. Louis. She said, yes, how'd you know it? I said, your husband's on the police force. That's right. And I said, you used to be a lovely housekeeper. She said, that's right. I said, recently your house looks like a hog pen. She said, that's right. I said, your daughter's over there now taking care of your husband. She said, that's right. I said, who told you that? I just kept talking because it was in a vision. And I said, you went out into a little place. First you went to a doctor. Yes. He gave you shots, yes. Those shots was called hormones, yes. I said, you went out to a place and they told you you had devils, yes, because you had a real funny feeling, yes. They sent you to California, yeah. And some man told you you had seven devils, yes. You went to a woman, she said you had five devils, yes. And they told you, come to me, yes, that's right. I said, how'd you know that? I said, the Holy Spirit said so. I said, you haven't got any devils to begin with. Right. She said, I haven't. I said, no. I said, lady, surely you know your mother went through the menopause. It's the menopause, something natural. Now I said, what do you think hormone shots are for? She said, I don't know. I said, for the change of life. That's what it is. No devils at all. It's just absolutely, it's just your condition of life. She began to relax. My wife was cooking some bacon and eggs out there. She began to look through the house. I said, are you hungry? She refused to eat first. I said, yes. She went out and ate three eggs, a big bunch of toast, two cups of coffee, a lot of jelly. And she was just happy she could be. She said, Brother Brad, are you going to pray for me to cast it away? I said, cast what away? She said, the thing, I said, there's nothing to cast away. She said, well, I never felt so good in my life. I said, what must I do? I said, go home, straighten up your house. Cook your husband a nice big apple pie about that thick. When he comes in tonight, throw both arms around him and kiss him, sit down and get on his lap and tell him you love him and live like a lady ought to. That's that. You see, all the pouring off oil will do a bit of good. It's the truth that makes you free.
That's right.
It's true. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free.
That's right.
So many times, sure, in a group, you'll find lots of people with, when you bring 300 or 400 people through the line, there's many clean, pure hearts in there that comes right through and gets healed. That's right. But there's some that we have to get back and pick up the struggling like that that failed it. Now, we can only do as God says do. Now, did you know a man that was given power or faith, not power, not himself to do it, but faith in God to do it, to cast out an evil spirit and would do it outside of God's will, would get himself in trouble? Look at Moses tonight. He was a prophet. You believe he was a prophet? Oh, he was a prince of prophets. That's right. Never was a prophet on earth like Moses. Of course, Jesus was, he was divine. Moses was just a man. But Moses, in every way, a type of Christ. Birth, lawgiver, high priest, oh, everything, just a type of Christ. And notice that God gave him power, and he went out there and did something with that power which was contrary to God's will.
That's right.
But he did it anyhow.
Amen.
You remember the prophet, the young fellow in the Bible named Elisha? He kind of went along with the real prophet and poured water on his hands. He kind of kept his company right. And when Elisha died, or was taken up, rather translated, the spirit of Elisha came up on him. And the fellow was bald-headed when he was young. And he was going down the street, and some little children began to tease him, call him old bald-head. And what he did, he turned around in anger. He kind of had a lot of temper anyhow. And he turned around in his anger and cursed those children in the name of the Lord. And two she-bears killed 42 little innocent children. Now, that ain't the nature of the Holy Spirit. But that's an angered prophet. See? I heard somebody kind of, your spirit kind of moved back when I said he had a temper. He did. Look at him when Jehoshaphat and them come down. He got his righteous indignation, man, all stirred up. He said, if it wasn't I respected the presence of Jehoshaphat, I wouldn't even look at you. Had to play some music, get him back in the spirit again. Is that right?
That's right.
Sure was. So Moses, this great warrior, in the time now that God had promised Abraham that in this great long suffering, that someday the people would sojourn for 400 years in a strange land. And during this time, remember, there was a lapse of time. Listen right close a minute. There was a lapse of time. It wasn't exactly 400 years, it was 420 years. Because of the condition of the people, Moses came in the right time to bring the people out, but they rejected the messenger. So it had taken another 40 years, a lapse of time, which made it run over 420 years. The same thing it was in the antediluvian world. The time was already set at hand, but through the long suffering, God not willing that any should perish, but it all might come to repentance. See the lapse of time in the antediluvian destruction? See the lapse of time in the deliverance of the children of Israel? So I want you to catch it close. Now listen. I get my words straight. Don't say Brother Brad said Jesus should have come. But I believe that the coming of Christ is past due. Way past due. That's where all the theologians and everything know it must be in a certain time. I think that's where the prophets could say it'll be sometime within that area of time. And they missed it because the long suffering of God, not willing that John Doe sitting here tonight would perish, but wanting him to come to repentance. Not willing that Mrs. Doe sitting here and all the little children, that they would perish, but long suffering. You sent Brother Roberts in, gave a great meeting. You sent the other man in, give a great meeting. Now he set up then, God's giving us a great meeting, not willing that any should perish. Long suffering. The bomb that would probably burst every atom in the earth is hanging out in Russia tonight. Ought to have been fired a long time ago. But God's long suffering, not willing that any should perish. Past due. God promised him that he'd bring him out under a mighty hand. And all of those things there of the pilgrimage from the children of Israel cast out down in Egypt. We know the story how God sent them down there. And they had their habitations, got in Goshen, and they got a great popularity through the prophet Joseph. And then, as in the time of the promise drew now, there raised up a Pharaoh who did not know Joseph. We're going to have one raised up one of these days that knows not Joseph. After a while, the time drew nigh, God sent a Savior to them. I think the greatest mistake that Israel ever made was the 19th chapter of Exodus, where after grace had already provided a Savior, had already provided a Lamb, had already provided deliverance, and then they said, let us do something. See, they want to do something. Man's always trying to find some way to save himself. Now, here it is. That's his nature. In the Garden of Eden, a man, as soon as he found out he was lost, he made himself a religion, a fig leaf apron, and put it over him.
Yeah.
You see why I think Eve was so beautiful?
Yeah.
See why I think these things, these strains? That's the strain of man yet tonight. Even after 4,000, yes, there is 6,000 years, man's still trying to cover his own sins by his own merits.
What hell?
He'll quit eating meat, he'll keep all kinds of days and oils, he'll tear himself down, he'll try everything that he can to save himself. It's so simple that even a fool couldn't fail to find it. Try it. The Bible said so. Just simply by grace are you saved through faith. He'll try to mystify and have all kinds of seeing lights and hearing sounds and everything and all kind of mystifying things to get people to be saved. Maybe someone did see it, but that don't mean all have to see it. You just believe it. That's what it is, and God has his program, and he'll set you and place you in Christ just where he thinks you'll work best for him. If you'll just stay in your calling. Don't try to get somebody else's calling. Stay in your own calling. If you're a housewife, remain a housewife. Whatever God calls you to do, just remain there. He knows where to put his hand on you and use you. You had a little woman named Hannah one time, little housewife. He knows where to place her, what he's going to do with her. You had one named Mary one time. And, oh my, he'll just do with you whatever he wants to do if you'll just let him do it. Just be humble, submit yourself to him, and walk on. Now, when the time of the promise drew nigh, then God sent Moses down. I'm going to try to quicken about 15 minutes if I can, so I want to, don't want to take too much time, because I'll get to preach and then I won't have the prayer line. I want to pray for the sick tonight. Billy just told me out there a few minutes ago, said, Daddy, he'd give out a whole group of prayer cards today, this afternoon around. So I want to try to pray for as many as I can. So, look, then when the time come near, God had raised up Moses to do the work that God had ordained him to do. And Moses went out into Egypt and with a mighty hand brought the children out from under the bondage, brought them to the Red Sea and crossed over on their journey to the Promised Land. Very, very beautiful type of the church today. Aren't you glad you come up out of Egypt? Pull the stakes out from the old garlic pots and flesh pots and things of the world, dances and carrying on of the world, and now pitched up in Beulah Land. Amen. Had the cat eating out here. We had our ups and downs, but we're still going towards the Promised Land. The pillar of fire is still marching on, building new camps every year. Is that right? When Martin Luther built the first camp, he organized it so tightly, he just couldn't be nothing else but a Luther. God come right along, moved the pillar of fire out, the children followed it.
Yeah.
Wesley brought the message. And the first thing you know, Wesley organized it so tight, so he couldn't move them. First thing, the pillar of fire moved out. Here come the Pentecost and pick it up. Going right on with it. The Pentecost is organized so tight that they're fussing whether they're oneness, two-ness, three-ness, one hump camel, two hump camel, three hump camel, this way, that way, that way. God is moving right on out, leaving them. That's right. The Holy Spirit's moving on, children of the Father. Oh, wouldn't it be wonderful when one of these times he'll break the eastern horizon and a scream of heaven will come in. Down through that line of time will come renewing our faith each day as we walk, believing on Him, hearts open to receive anything that He'll send.
Yeah.
Believing all things, hoping all things, enduring all things. That's love.
Yeah.
God is love. Notice me now. And when they got to the Red Sea got in the way of God. Think of that. The Red Sea got God's way. God was moving on with His children. You believe He's with His children today? A little while and the world won't see me no more. Yet ye shall see me, for I'll be with you, even in you, to the end of the world. God moving with His children. Now notice, here's another beautiful picture. We don't get too much into it, but notice that when Pharaoh's army were just about to overtake Israel, because they had the halt, the sea was before them, an obstacle. But before God could move them through the sea and move back the sea, the pillar of fire went over and stood between Pharaoh and Israel.
Yeah.
And what was right to Israel was dark to Pharaoh. You see, if you want to accept the truth, it'll become darkness and you'll walk in darkness.
That's right. Amen.
He that sins willfully has received the knowledge of the truth. There is no more sacrifice for sin. They marched on, walked in the light, the beautiful light. Come where the dewdrops of mercy are bright. Remember singing the old song? Shine all around us by day and by night. Jesus, the light of the world.
Yeah.
Israel marching on, yet there was a sick spell in front of them, or an obstacle of some sort. As Israel marched down to the sea, God calls a mysterious thing to happen. He opened up a little crack down in the atmosphere somewhere and blew down a hard wind from his nostrils and blew it real high and just dried up the sea, and she got scared and moved her wall back, and Israel marched across on dry land. Oh, isn't that marvelous? Now remember, that same God's your life. He wasn't back there only. He's forever the same. He changes not. And He gives us same kind of signs and evidence that He is in the camp. Listen, I'll drop this on just for a minute. Any time, any place, any part of the Bible where God's message is going, there were signs and wonders following it. Always. Never a still ritualistic thing. They died when they got without a vision. Perished the judges during the time of the judges. Nothing happened. Just a very cold, formal, ritualistic affair. God wasn't in the camp. But as soon as God came in, then signs and wonders began to take place. Yes, you know what I mean?
Amen.
Notice. Then God opened up the Red Sea and Moses and led Israel across the Red Sea, and the uncircumcised, ritualistic, ones that rejected the light, refused to walk in the light, God being long-suffering, give them plenty of time to believe it. He gave them signs and wonders and so forth, and they shut up their faces from it. I don't believe it. I believe it's witchcraft. Get it? And they refused to receive it. They, being uncircumcised, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word, receiving the word brings new life. And as they strived across like the Israelites did, the sea gave away and destroyed every one of them. See it? Then notice, here's the beautiful thing of every believer that once takes his stand for Christ Jesus. Remember, they come forth why? Why was God favoring them? Because they was a redeemed people.
Amen.
Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. God had brought them into full assurance and had redeemed them from death and was taking them to the promised land.
Yeah.
You see it?
Yeah.
No wonder God could work with them. They were under the blood.
Amen.
He couldn't see their sins because it was hid by the blood of the Lamb.
Yeah.
Redeemed, marching forward. None of their business to say, well, wait a minute, let me look out and see what that's going to be, how we're going to do this. They didn't even use their own knowledge. They only followed The Indian friend last evening's coming up here. There's a little lovely little Spanish woman come up crying, her tears running down her cheeks. I never said nothing. I reached over to shake her hand. She's probably sitting here tonight. And she had a gallstone trouble. I seen a vision break over. She took hold of my hand. She kissed me on the back of the fingers like that. She looked up like that. Just as satisfied. Got my judge here. She's here now. She knows she's free of gallstone. There's a little Indian maid walked up there in her humble simplicity. Her staring black eyes looking this way. She kept searching till she caught mine. A little smile tricked across her. She had a breast trouble. She'd stuck a pencil in her breast years ago. It hurt her breast. She had an awful time with it. If she's sitting under the sound of my voice, don't you worry, sister. Your faith made you whole. You're going to get well. That's right. Watching them in the simplicity of walking, their faith moving. I thought there's no need of telling her about it, because she'll find it out after a while anyhow. Just when God's done it, that settles. She couldn't tell everything. Just going every way. So I was just thinking of after they crossed through a separated people, God requires total annihilation from sin. Isn't that a word for a Calvinist to say? But that's right. God requires total annihilation. And how can you do it as a man? You can't. But Christ did it for you. And you just abide in Christ, that's all. God can't see the sin at all. Because he has to see the blood first. He can't see through the blood. If he's looking through the blood, he sees your wife. Just stay in Christ, that's all.
Glory.
Isn't that simple?
Amen.
And we're in a pilgrimage. We're going to have it up and down like they did. Our jubilee times that are up and down, but we're on. Now, look at this. After crossing, after they look back and see the old taskmasters dead behind, it calls a little jubilee time. I believe in having those once in a while, don't you? It kind of shakes off all the ashes, you know. I stand up all over Chicago a few weeks ago, and I'm watching around Lake Michigan. The ice rolls around everywhere. That great big old sea waves coming in like that, dashing and flashing, angry like it was trying to get in. I go, oh, what's that dashing like that for? I go, well, you know what? There's no more water in it right now than it is when it's perfectly calm. Oh, it's just having a revival. That's all. That's right. When you believe the Lord Jesus, that settles it. Jesus himself said, he that heareth my words believeth on him, and said, he has everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but already passed from death to life.
Amen.
Now we need a revival. I thought, what does the sea jump like that for? Well, there comes a mighty rushing wind down and causes a revival. Same amount of water. That's right. But it's got a revival. What does it do? It throws all the trash up on the shore. We need a scouring off, and so on. God gives us a revival, and a sweeping mighty wind, it rushes down to the church like that and floats all the trash out. God purifies by the Holy Spirit, the wind that comes from heaven that shakes your soul, scours you out. Still the same creature, but you got scoured out. See? That's right. Now, Miriam and them looking back and saw that separation, annihilated from their enemies forever. How long? How long was it going to be saved from them? These Egyptians that you see today, you'll see no more forever.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Put them in the steel forgetfulness and remember them no more. God goes and digs it up again and holds it against you. I forget about it.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Oh, my. No wonder Miriam had a heart spell. She picked up a tambourine, began to dance and jump down the bank. Oh, you know, the Holy Spirit was like this, catches from one to another. Like an Adams and a relay, you see. And begin to jump from one to another, and they all got tambourines, and they had a real jubilee. You know, Brother Moses got so happy that he held up his hands and
This is nothing new, it's just a new case of the old. That's right. There they are, singing in the spirit, dancing in the spirit, beating all the music, clapping their hands. What a time they was having. Why? They were annihilated from their enemy. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
He still does the same thing.
Sure.
Under a better covenant. Way better than the old covenant.
That's right.
Now God promised He'd supply all their needs, not their wants now, their needs. So they come out with just a little bit of bread enough to last them for about one day. God doesn't want you to hang on to the things you once had. Hang on to your old habits and things that you once had. Cut loose of them. God will give you something else better.
That's right.
You ever try? He will. You say, well, I just couldn't. Yes, you can. You just let loose one time and let God.
That's right.
Just let loose and let Him show what He can do about it. Now, and then when they look, the next morning when they got up, there was something supernatural happened. They were hungry breakfast time, and they had waffles honey the next morning for breakfast. That's right, said that, little wafers that taste like honey.
Right.
Wafers already cooked and sent out with honey on them. Brother, you can't beat that. That's good for any breakfast. Yes, sir. Waffles and honey. This smacked your lips on it. And it was a type that was Christ that came down from glory, humiliating Himself in the form of the bread of life.
Yeah.
Life-giving part of the journey. And it never ceased to fall until they went into the millennium. Amen.
God.
Is that right? Yes. That same matter fell constantly every day except Sunday.
Yes.
Every day the same until they went into the millennium, the time, over into the promised land. And that's where all the Hebrew prophets through the years have looked forward to the millennium.
Yes.
And the same Holy Ghost, which is the type that fell on the day of Pentecost, will continue the same until the millennium. Man will still have the Holy Ghost, and the same things will take place. All the way through. Right?
Yeah.
Until the millennium age. Christ, the bread of life, come down from heaven, humiliating Himself, giving His life, that through His life He might have journeying mercy.
Yeah.
Where did that come from? How? That pillar of fire. That's where it dropped out of. He was up there. That was Christ Himself, the Logos.
Yeah.
The angel of the covenant that Moses forsook Egypt, not knowing where he was going, but he was on his road. Yeah. It should have been his little power that God promised that the angel would leave. And look, God said, I'll put my name in him. He won't pardon your transgressions, so beware of him. Yeah. He hath been made flesh yet to dwell among us, to shed his blood to take away our sins. So the blood of lambs and goats was very, very fragile. It would break easy.
Yeah.
But now the blood of Christ, once shed, cleansed until the day of redemption.
Hallelujah.
All the way through, once perfected through the sanctifying process of the Holy Spirit by the blood of the Lord Jesus, that believer is anchored until the day of redemption. What? Yes, sir. Ephesians 4:30 says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed until the day of redemption.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Don't let us take the scare out of it now.
Yes, yes.
God's with us. Although you sin, you got an advocate. Tell God you're sorry. Come on back. That's the way to do it. Don't think you're cast off forever. As long as you still have enough desire to come to this church, come on, God's still with you. Sure is. Yes, He'll just keep moving as long as you, as He calls you, He's still in the saving business to call you. All His calling, He's still wooing at your heart. Come on, no matter what you've done, God still wants to forgive you, take you back, love you a little bit, hug you up to His bosom, give you a few spiritual vitamins, put you back in the church in your position again. He came to redeem, to seek and save that which was lost.
Yeah.
Now, notice the manna fell, and they eat it, and it was the bread of life that sustained them all the way through the journey. And the day they entered into the type of the millennium over in the other promised land, were there like we are to live for 1,000 years without death. When they entered into that land, then the manna ceased to fall. A very beautiful type of the Holy Spirit falling today, which is the manna from heaven. The day that we enter the millennium, Christ, the Son of David, will sit on David's throne. Amen. Won't need any Holy Spirit then, because Christ will be here himself in a body form as King Jesus. Then all the nations are sure going to beat their plowshares or their pruning or swords into plowshares, and war's over then. We're going to have some rest around here. The whole world's going to rejoice, and the Jubilee year will come. Notice, now as they turned on, I have to hurry, got about 5 minutes longer. Notice, they got over there then, and it is strange, even although redeemed by the blood, I want you to notice the person cannot be sinless in himself. Takes an atonement. After seeing all those miracles and things that God did for them, they still grumbled and complained. God's love, not willing. One day God is going to take the whole group of them out, start with Moses and raise a new generation. And Moses, here's the power of a believer. Throw yourself in the breach for the people that God don't cross over me. Take me first, before you take them. Notice, and God could not cross Moses.
That's right.
The love of that people Moses had, the heart of God seen that and couldn't cross over his prophet. Oh my, can that you see it?
Yes.
What prayer can do? Change God. Yes, after God's already spoke something that's going to be, prayer can change it. Hezekiah was told by the prophet that he is going to die, but his house in order for us. Thus saith the Lord. The king turned his face to the wall and began to weep bitterly and said, Lord, I beseech you to consider me. I've walked before you with a perfect heart. And when he did, looks like God would have talked right back to the king as the biggest, greatest man in the land. But God has a way of doing things. He went back out and told the prophet. So now you go back and tell him. How humiliating it was to Isaiah after coming out of the palace to all the celebrity. What about our beloved king? Thus said the Lord, he's going to die. Walked out to the soldiers. What about our king, O prophet of God? Thus said the Lord, he's going to die. Weeping. Went out to the poor people at the gate. What about our king? Thus said the Lord, he's going to die. Gets out there, steps down his little cabin, weeps a little bit for the king, picks up his scriptures and goes reading. Here comes a vision down. God stood in the vision and said, go back and tell him I heard his prayer. Here he comes right back again. All the poor people at the gate. Thus said the Lord, he's going to live. Right back up again. Thus said the Lord, he's going to live. Brought him a little sack of figs along, made some poultices, and put it on the king. Third day he went to church to worship. Prayer changed from death to life.
Hallelujah.
Prayer of faith shall save the sick. God shall raise them up. There you are. All this grumbling. And the first thing you know, because they begin to grumble, God cut off their water supply. That's what's the matter with the water supply today. That's the reason we're not having any revival in America. Grumbling, complaining. You don't belong to the assembly, you're not in it. No, you have to be this, or you have to be the Church of God. You have to be a Baptist, a Methodist. You have to be this, that. Oh, that's the reason we can't get nowhere.
That's right.
Yes, sir, it wasn't for the sovereignty of God, he'd shut the whole thing off.
That's right.
Grumbling of the people. I'll tell you, brother, as long as people argue and complain and grumble about their church affiliations and denominations, you're still carnal, walking with carnal minds, like the old kids. Why don't you grow up and be a man once in a while? Look at the overall picture. What difference does it make what church you belong to as long as you're a child of God? Out of it. Mr. Baxter used to tell me a little story of a candidate that's going to give a swim bicycle or some kind of bicycle for any boy who could ride a 12-inch plank for a half a city block without falling off. He said, my, I know I'll get that. He'd go downtown, get a sack of groceries, come back, and never even put his hand on the handlebar. So I made a boy. They had a little sissy boy around there. He entered the contest too. So they all got up and every one of them fell off the board but the little old sissy boy. So it was all over, the boys got him out and said, how did you come to ride it that day? What's the matter, boy? 15, 20 you jumped over your handlebars, just looking down like this, trying to keep it on the board. Said, I would pay attention to what was here, I watched the end. That way you don't wiggle if you watch the end. Amen! There it is! You see it? Don't pay attention to this present condition. Look at the end, the coming of the Lord. I'd be a miserable person now if I looked around now and see what was going on. But I'm looking to Him, the author and finisher of the faith. Christ at the end when He'll come and say, why did you colonize yourself? Why did you take sides here and take sides there? Why was you big enough to look up here? And know that I love whosoever will let Him come. Yeah. Amen. I say we're brethren, man. Let's stand up together. Amen. There you are. Notice, then you get an army and their water supply was cut off. They began to stick at one another. That's what's meant with that thistle today or that jumping cactus, brother. Didn't have no water out there. Been a lot of water on the desert. In a few years, you know what happened? That thing would have leaves on it instead of stickers. That's what's the matter with the church tonight. They ain't got no leaves for the healing of the nation. It's sticking and out of water. Become thorns, sticking one another because you don't belong to a certain organization. Stickery! The Holy Spirit. Grumbling, carnality, cut off the water supply. Would you imagine if people had left the muddy waters of Egypt to drink from the spiritual rock and was still complaining? Could you imagine leaving the flesh pots and garlic in Egypt, these angels' food, and we still complaining? Could you imagine that? Leaving the boasting physicians of Egypt, saying the days of miracles is past, there's no such a thing as miracles anymore, and to go out to be with the people who believe in the signs following? With the sign of a king in the camp and great wonders and signs of pillar of fire hanging over and the blessings of folly, spiritual men out of heaven and still grumbling. Insult to their maker. Right?
Yeah.
Oh, what a time. God's still in His mercy. Still merciful, said Moses, go out and speak to the rock and bring him some water. They have forgot all the miracles that happened last month. They forgot how I opened up the Red Sea. 7 years sick tonight, you forgot how God saved your soul. And that's the worst of more of a miracle than it was to heal your body. They forgot all about it. But Moses, yet in your mercy, come on, in mercy, I am going to open the rock again. Oh, my. And God sent my word. They looked it over, they heard it preached, they wouldn't believe it. Still better than that, I'll send gifts in the church. I'm long-suffering. I'll show signs and wonders on and on. Isn't He wonderful?
Yeah.
Then we go to fussing about what church we belong to. He still sends the rains just the same. Still blesses our souls, sends us revivals, raises up evangelists and pastors and teachers, sets in the church gifts of healing, prophecy, and speaking with tongues, interpretations, and all this, yet in all of our wrangling and fanaticisms and things that we get into, God still sends it right on just the same. Long suffering. Waiting, surely somebody will wake up after a while, see, before the coming of the Lord. Moses went up there then when they were all said, take the rod and go out there and stand before the rock. I'll meet you on the rock. Oh, I love that. I'll meet you on the rock. He smoked the rock the first time, brought forth waters, a type of Christ was the rock. Look, the carnal mind would have quickly said, the worst place in the world to try to find water was in the rock. That's the driest place on the desert. Well, sure, if there's no water down here under the palm trees where the spring was, there's not up there in that rock yet God in it. While the wisdom of God is foolish to man. Well, it's the driest place in the country to try to ever find that. But yet God said, right there's where the water is. And if people today say, oh, divine healing, if there's anything, it'd be up in the big up and ups, and it'd be in the big churches in the Vatican City, it would be probably with the Archbishop of Canterbury, some of them would have the gifts. Or would it be in one of the little missions down on the street where they're clapping their hands and going on with the foolishness? Yes, it pleased God for the foolishness of preaching to save them. Hey, man, you see it? The water is sometimes where you would least expect it to be. Why? The carnal mind would say, why strike the rock? Why, Moses, some of the dignitaries of the camp, would say, Moses, why are you going up there to strike the rock for? God said so. Why, strike it down here, what water is that? God said, strike it up there. Naaman said, if the water's up there in my country better than these mighty waters? But God said, dip in these waters. This is the water. He held his nose round, but God heard his prayers, but he sure got healed.
Amen.
That's what we need tonight, is to forget our prayers, forget our own mental conception, and believe what the Holy Spirit said, and be led by the Spirit of God.
Amen.
Then the next time they got thirsty, they moved him out and said, now go speak to the rock, and it'll bring forth the water. I wonder tonight if anybody here's out of speaking terms with the rock. Hannah one time, she had a little thirsty baby. It was dying. She wondered how her mistress, Mrs. Abraham, Sarah, how they could treat her like that. She'd been a true little worker for them. And legally, when polygamy was legal, she had married him just as legally as it could be, and the baby come. Why, she had no reason, nothing at all. What, this sudden strange thing happened. And she was given a little bottle of water and a basket of bread and turned out into the wilderness to die with the baby. She couldn't understand it. You know what she did? The little fellow began to holler for water when there was no water to give it. Out in the desert, she laid him under a bush and went off about a bow shot. And she spake to the rock. So why are you weeping, woman? Look over your head, there's a whole fountain of water. Still stands today, Barsheba. A well. God looketh and seeth me. She spoke to the rock. There's a woman one day who had a blood issue. And she spent all of her living, pawned the farm, sold all the teams and everything. And trying to get well with the doctors. They'd try everything and took all the money, and yet she was no better. So she heard a little skiff move into the edge of the willows down there one morning. She went out and spake to the rock. She got what she asked for. Martha, very dilatory about keeping the preachers with something to eat. Her sister kind of rebuked her and said she ought to do this, that, or the other. But the first thing you know, she might have been a little unconcerned, but she's listening to good things. And the first thing you know, one day when her brother was dead, been dead for 4 days, she went out and spake to the rock. And the rock brought forth life to her brother. Poor Moses, as we're closing, he followed the rock, and one day after his disobedience, God told him, so now Moses, down in this wilderness of sin, you didn't magnify me down there or glorify me. You took all the credit yourself. So I just can't let you go over. So I want you to come up and climb up here to Pisgah. I'm going to show you what lays ahead. I like that.
Yes.
I'm homesick and tired. I want to see Jesus. I want to hear the sweet harbor bells shine. It would brighten my and vanish all my fears. Lord, let me look past the curtain of time. Moses climbing the mountain, singing, looking back, tears dimming his eyes. As he climbed up there, disobedience, he had done something wrong, yet he had been a servant of God. He stood and viewed the land over all the way from Dan to Beersheba. He looked all up and down. He seen as in springtime in April in the great valley flowed through there, how beautiful it was, of milk and honey, a beautiful land. He certainly longed to go over. 80 years, nearly 40 years in the wilderness of these children. And then when God said, get ready, Moses, prepare yourself, because I have to take you home this morning. Moses steady looking, he felt the chilly winds of death sweeping up, his pulse coming up his sleeve. He had to look laying here by his side. There laid the rock. He stepped over on it, the angels took him away. About 800 years later, we see him on Mount Transfiguration, speaking to the rock.
Amen.
That's right. That rock cut him through. The rock cut me through this far. It's grace that's brought me safe thus far. Grace will take me on. If you're troubled tonight, let's speak to the rock. Out of him comes forth abundance of water. Not just a little drip, a whole gusher. Did you realize how many people, 2 million people besides all the camels, come drink from that spring? And there was abundance of it flowing everywhere. He has plenty tonight. Won't you come and speak to him while we have our heads bowed for a moment of prayer? Our beloved Savior, this may be the last meeting that many will ever see. Maybe the last one that we're privileged to set together this side of eternity. After standing here and speaking of thy word, saying that there is a rock and it's smitten now, God so loved the world that he smote his only begotten Son, that out of him might come rivers of everlasting waters of life to a perishing people. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We thank thee. Jesus said, whosoever heareth my words, believeth on him that sent me, has imperishable life. He's taken a drink from the fountain of the Spirit of Christ, and can never more come into condemnation, but's already passed from death to life. Thou knowest the heart of every man, woman, boy, and girl in here, Father. I pray tonight as I commit these words to you, that you will deal with human hearts. And may they speak tonight to the rock and say, yes, rock. Rock of ages, cleft for me. Grant, Father, while we ask it in his name, while we have our heads bowed, I wonder if someone would just raise your hand to the rock, not to your brother here. Say, rock Christ Jesus, fountain of everlasting life, I humbly come now. I raise my hand saying this, gush out upon me thy everlasting life. God bless you, my sister. God bless you, my brother. God bless you. Someone else, raise your hand on the bottom floor and say, oh, fountain of life, I come, by this I raise my hand. God bless you, my Mexican brother. God bless you, my little brother sitting back there. I come, fountain of life, I now raise my hand. Truly in my heart, I believe that Christ died as my Redeemer to bring me back to God in relationship by being a son or daughter and in fellowship with the Holy Spirit. God bless you, honey. God bless you. Someone else raise your hand and say, this, Lord, I give myself to thee. God bless you, little lady. I see you back there in the middle aisle. Someone else, God bless you, young man. God bless you, sir. And God bless you, young lady. That's fine. God bless you, madam, the Mexican woman sitting there. God bless you. God bless you, young lady over here to my left. Someone else, keep praying. Keep your head bowed. They're coming now. God bless you. You know what that means? God bless you, sister. That's fine. God bless you, sister. Oh, wonderful. You know what God said? No man can come lest my Father draws him. And all that comes, I'll give him everlasting life. If you believe me to be the servant of God, his prophet or servant, brother, believe that the message I speak is the truth. It isn't carried out right, but it's the best that I can with all I can. It comes from my heart. Remember, the Word of God said, the very angel of God who confirms the message to be true every night, that whosoever believeth has everlasting life. Not mentally believe now, from your heart. Say, Lord, I just opened up my soul. Jesus Christ promised that would never come into condemnation, but pass from death to life. Just by making a sign to God, here I am, Lord. I now believe. Someone else. Father, think of that, friend. What a simple thing. God bless you, brother. Old gray-headed man raising his hand. Maybe the first time in his life. Coming now, God gives thee everlasting life, my brother. You may have done a lot of noble deeds in your days, no doubt you have. Maybe a father of many children. But friend, that's the greatest thing you've ever done in all your life. When death kills you soon, perhaps, I don't know, maybe a few years yet, you'll remember I raised my hand. And when you're going out of here, God will reveal it back to you, your hand up. I now accept Jesus as my Savior. God said if you do that, you'll never perish. How simple He's made it, just longing, loving you. Will you raise your hand, someone else on the bottom floor, before you run to the balcony right quick for the prayer line. God bless you, Mother. God bless you. Gray-headed woman. Saintly-looking woman. Probably a good old mother. Another one, too. Two of them sitting together. God bless you, sister. I know my words are saying God bless you is not very much, but what does it mean? It means from the depth of my heart I'm asking God to grant to you the favor that you're asking when He promised He'd do it. It's so easy for me to ask Him that. He promised He'd do it. Up in the balcony to my left, anyone along there, just raise your hand. Say, I now want everlasting life. God bless you, sir. God bless you, lady. God bless you, sir. God bless you, and you, and you. That's fine. God bless you. Now, God bless you, sir. God bless you, lady. God bless you, the little Mexican girls at the end. I see you. God bless you. God bless you, the little boy sitting here to my left. That's right. Look, honey. I tell you the truth, Jesus gives you everlasting life right now because something struck your little heart. And that's the only thing you can do, honey, is just believe. God does the rest of it. Grace and saves you. Be a good little boy and all of you along there. Be good children of God, now serve Him. He promised He'd do it. Because I promised, I believe. Oh, Lamb of God, I come. Precious Lord, take these unworthy hands, and as commemoration of the Bible, of when you dealt with the Jews, which we are Jews spiritually, by being dead in Christ and take on Abraham's seed, have faith in God. And now I lay myself over these handkerchiefs with all the faith that I can pray with. Asking you to heal everyone, all the people thou knowest me. May each one be severally give out for its destinations to be determined. And may each one be healed. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we'll pray for the sick. You feel real good, say amen.
Amen.
Now, I'm just preaching the West. That's your American privilege. But still, in my heart, God knows whether I'm telling the truth or not, or this sacred death, I still love you. I can't help it. There's something in me that tells me you're my brother. We don't believe alike, but we're still brothers. You may be fallen, but I still love you anyhow. You may be a bootlegger. You might be a prostitute. I love you anyhow. That's right. There's something in here. Now, me, myself, up here, I wouldn't, but there's something in here that loves you. I can't help it. I don't see you're wrong. I just want you to come get right. Now, you say you get on there? Pee. Or let's line up a few of them. And let's begin tonight with, well, let's just start from number one. Prayer card. Did you say B or P? P. Prayer card. P on the back of it, L-M-O-P, P on the back of it, and it starts, who has number one? Is that was it from one to 100? You have number one, or number two, number three,